The Jewish War by Josephus. Preface. The war of the Jews against the Romans was the greatest of our time, greater too perhaps than any recorded struggle, whether between cities or nations. Yet persons with no first-hand knowledge, accepting baseless and inconsistent stories on hearsay, have written garbled accounts of it, while those of eyewitnesses have been falsified, either to flatter the Romans or to vilify the Jews, eulogy or abuse being substituted for factual record. So, for the benefit of the emperor's subjects, I have decided to translate into Greek the books which I wrote some time ago in my native language for circulation in the Middle East. I myself, Josephus, son of Matthias, am a Hebrew by race and a priest from Jerusalem. In the early stages I fought against the Romans, and of the later events I was an unwilling witness. This upheaval, as I said, was the greatest of all time, and when it occurred, Rome herself was in a most unsettled state. Jewish revolutionaries took advantage of the general disturbance. They had vast resources of men and money, and so widespread was the ferment that some were filled with hope of gain, others with fear of loss by the state of affairs in the East. For the Jews expected all their Mesopotamian brethren to join their insurrection. From another side, Roman supremacy was being challenged by the Gauls on their borders, and the Celts were restive. In fact, after Nero's death, disorder reigned everywhere. Presented with this opportunity, many aspired to the imperial throne, while the soldiery were eager for a transference of power as a means of enriching themselves. I therefore thought it inexcusable, when such issues were involved, to see the truth misrepresented and to take no notice. Parthians, Babylonians, southern Arabians, Mesopotamian Jews, and Assyrians, thanks to my labors, were accurately informed of the causes of the war, the sufferings it involved, and its disastrous ending. Were the Greeks and those Romans who took no part in it to remain ignorant of the facts, deluded with flattery or fiction? Yet the writers I have in mind claim to be writing history, though, beside getting all their facts wrong, they seem to me to miss their target altogether, for they wish to establish the greatness of the Romans while all the time disparaging and deriding the actions of the Jews. But I do not see how men can prove themselves great by overcoming feeble opponents. Again, they are not impressed by the length of the war, the vastness of the Roman forces which endured such hardships, and the genius of their commanders, whose strenuous endeavors before Jerusalem will bring them little glory if the difficulties they overcame are belittled. However, it is not my intention to counter the champions of the Romans by exaggerating the heroism of my own countrymen. I will state the facts accurately and impartially. At the same time, the language in which I record the events will reflect my own feelings and emotions, for I must permit myself to bewail my country's tragedy. She was destroyed by internal dissensions, and the Romans, who so unwillingly set fire to the temple, were brought in by the Jews' self-appointed rulers, as Titus Caesar, the temple's destroyer, has testified. For throughout the war he pitied the common people, who were helpless against the partisans, and over again he delayed the capture of the city and prolonged the siege in the hope that the ringleaders would submit. If anyone criticizes me for the accusations I bring against the party chiefs and their gangs of bandits, or for my laments over the misfortunes of my country, he must pardon my weakness, regardless of the rules of historical writing. For it so happened that of all the cities under Roman rule, our own reached the highest summit of prosperity, and in turn fell into the lowest depths of misery. the misfortunes of all other races since the beginning of history compared to those of the Jews seem small. And for our misfortunes we have only ourselves to blame. How then could I master my feelings? If anyone is disposed to pass harsh judgment on my emotion, he must remember that the facts belong to the story, and only the grief is the writer's. On the other hand, criticism may fairly be levelled at those Greek scholars who, knowing that the wars of the past fade into insignificance beside the astonishing events of their own times, sit in judgment upon the latter and severely censure those who make an effort to record them. For though their own flow of words is greater, their historical sense is inferior. They write histories themselves about the Assyrians and Medes, implying that the earlier writers did not do the work properly. Yet they are no more a match for them as writers than as thinkers. For the old historians were all eager to set down the events of their own lifetimes, and their participation in these events gave vitality to their account, while it was impossible to depart from the truth without being detected. Surely, to leave a permanent record of contemporary events for the benefit of posterity is worthy of the highest praise. And the real worker is not the man who merely changes the order and arrangement of another man's work, but the one who has something new to say and constructs a historical edifice of his own. I myself have gone to great trouble and expense, though an alien, so that I may offer to the Greeks and Romans a permanent record of their triumphs. Native writers, on the other hand, though the chance of profit from litigation finds them possessed of ready tongue and an unlimited flow of words, when they turn to history, which requires them to speak the truth after laboriously collecting the facts, appear to be gagged, and pass over to inferior writers unaware of the facts the task of recording the achievements of the great. I am determined, therefore, to respect the truth of history, though it has been neglected by the Greeks. An account of the early history of the Jews, their origin, their exodus from Egypt, the extent of their wanderings and subsequent conquests and their removal from their country would, I think, be out of place here, and in any case unnecessary. For many Jews before me have accurately recorded the doings of our ancestors, and their accounts have been translated into Greek with very few mistakes. But where the Greek historians and our own prophets left off, I shall begin my story. And the events of the war I witnessed I will relate in greater detail and with all the completeness of which I am capable, whereas events before my time will be run over in brief outline. Starting with Antiochus Epiphanes, who stormed Jerusalem and, after holding it for 3.5 years, was driven out of the country by the Hasmoneans, I shall explain how their descendants, by their struggles for the throne, forced Pompey and the Romans to intervene. How Antipater's son Herod brought in Sosius and put an end to the Hasmonean dynasty. How the people revolted after Herod's death when Augustus was Roman emperor and Quintilius Varus the local governor. And how in the 12th year of Nero's reign the war broke out with disastrous results to Cestius, and remarkable successes for Jewish arms in the early encounters. The fortification of the neighboring towns will occupy us next, and the decision of Nero, in whom Cestius's defeats had aroused fears for the whole empire, to give Vespasian supreme command. The invasion of Jewish territory by Vespasian, assisted by his elder son, the size of the Roman army and allied contingents with which he overran Galilee, the capture of the Galilean towns, some by all-out assault, some by negotiation. At this point I must explain the Roman system of military discipline and legionary training, and describe the dimensions and features of the two Galilees and the limits of Judea, with the peculiarities of the country, especially the lakes and springs. Of the fate of each of the captured towns I shall give an exact account, based on my own observations and the part I played. It would be pointless to draw a veil over my own misfortunes, with which my readers are so familiar. Next will come the death of Nero at the moment when Jewish hopes were waning, the interruption of Vespasian's advance on Jerusalem by his summons to the throne, the encouragement he received from Portents, and the upheavals in Rome, the insistence of his soldiers on making him emperor despite his protests, the outbreak of party strife among the Jews following his departure for Egypt to settle the affairs of the empire, the tyranny and dissensions of the party chiefs. An account must next be given of the second invasion, mounted in Egypt by Titus, the method, place, and size of his troop concentrations, the state of the party-riven city when he arrived, the series of assaults and the erection of the platforms, the sighting and measurements of the three protecting walls, the defenses of the city and the plan of the temple and sanctuary. All the exact measurements of these and of the altar, certain customs of the feasts, the seven grades of purity, the priestly ministrations, the priestly and high priestly vestments, the description of the Holy of Holies. I shall conceal nothing, and add nothing to the published facts. Then I shall contrast the brutality of the party chiefs towards their countrymen with the clemency of the Romans towards aliens, and the persistence with which Titus showed his anxiety to save the city and the sanctuary by inviting the insurgents to come to terms. In discussing the sufferings of the people and the calamities that led to their final defeat, I shall consider how far they were due to enemy action, how far to party strife, how far to starvation. My account will include the misfortunes of the deserters and the punishments inflicted on the prisoners, the burning of the sanctuary, despite Caesar's disapproval, and the number of sacred treasures snatched from the flames, the capture of the entire city and the signs and wonders that preceded it, the arrest of the party chiefs, the number of people enslaved and the fates that befell them, the way in which the Romans disposed of the last remnants of the war, demolishing the ramparts of every fort, the progress of Titus through the whole country to establish order, and his return to Italy and triumphal celebrations. All this I have embraced in seven books. To those who took part in the war or have ascertained the facts, I have left no ground for complaint or criticism. It is for those who love the truth, not those who seek entertainment, that I have written. I will now begin my story where I began my summer.